Warning. This podcast contains strong language and immature subject matter. We talk about farts. Listener discretion is advised.
Superman said to tell you he's really sorry, but he's run into kind of a problem and he won't be able to have dinner with you tonight.
Oh, well, I guess he misses a lot of dinners.
Yeah. Would you mind settling for me?
Any day. I'll get my things.
Okay. You know, Lana, I was talking to Superman the other day. You know, he and I, well, we talk a lot. And, he felt really badly about you having to pawn your diamond ring. And, well, he found this one just lying around, and he wanted you to have this.
Episode 15 of Lonely Hearts, the romance comics podcast, where four guys with no real competence in anything related to romance necessarily talk about romance comics or romances in comics. And I'm Siskoid, one of your four hosts.
I'm Bass, one of your four hosts.
I'm Fern, one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
I'm Marty, I'm one of the four, whatever they said.
That's it. And today we are talking about romances in comics because we're kind of doing a mirror episode to episode 11, which was The Many Loves of Peter Parker, The Many Loves of Spider-Man.
Ooh, that was fun. That one episode I missed.
Yeah.
I'm sick, I think.
Can we do a mirror episode and just have goatees?
You'd have to shave, and you guys would have to shave, and we'd have to grow. I cannot grow a goatee to save my life.
Wait, does that mean we're the evil versions of ourselves?
No, that means I'm the good version of myself. And the jury's out on you guys.
All right.
There you go. So we're doing the same thing with Superman. The Many Loves of Superman.
He didn't date anyone Peter Parker did.
So we've got to have different lists.
Romance for Aunt May would be amazing.
I need 5 minutes, guys.
You can't do Venom.
Superman, Venom, that would be great.
Venom Man?
For like 5 minutes, and then be boring.
Fern's Crazy Slash Fic. It's a podcast of its own. But what we're doing is looking at, obviously, in episode 2 of this show, which was in fall of 2015.
It's been a while.
We were so young back then.
Yeah.
And innocent. We discussed, of course, we contrasted Wonder Woman and Lois Lane, the current love interest in the comics with the classic.
No, the right one. Well, let's just say the right
one. The right and only one.
Yeah.
So you're asking, what the hell? Why are we revisiting this, and won't Lois Lane automatically be number one? So that's why our lists will not contain Lois Lane. In a world where there is no Lois Lane, who are the best, most compatible, funkiest? I don't know what your criteria are.
Funky Flashman.
What are the best love interests for Superman other than Lois Lane?
Hmm.
Will Wonder Woman make the cut?
What?
Was she second?
Yeah.
So we'll see, and we'll basically go around the room, and one of these selections will actually star in a romance comics theater, which is our tradition here. We always do a little radio play sometime during the show, so stick around for that. That big production, which will star a True Blue Superman fan as Superman.
Ooh.
It's not one of us.
wait, Bice is a big Superman fan.
Yes, but he's not playing Superman.
Is it Jerry Seinfeld?
It's Jerry Seinfeld.
I believe he listens to our podcast. Yeah.
What's the deal with kryptonite?
Sally.
I can't.
Michael Richards is Krypto. I'm done, Jerry.
I'm fine. So, okay. So, the rules are no Lois Lane, or unless we've got a really askew version of Lois Lane. I mean, whatever.
I'm still good.
If you guys want to cheat. But
oh, yeah.
Lois Lane cannot be on this list. She cannot, obviously. That would be too easy. And we can take any love interest from any continuity. Golden Age, Silver Age, Bronze Age, Modern Age, Crap Age. We can
So, Superman, Electric, Red and Blue.
TV shows, the movies, the...
Anything.
An Elseworlds. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
As long as there was actually a spark of some sort.
A spark? Oh, crap.
So, we'll go from...
Get Venom off that list.
We'll go from fifth to first, and then we'll talk about some honorable mentions or also-rans and never-were's and never-should-be. We'll keep those to the end. We understand these rules?
Yes. We do. Yes. Fern does not.
I do. I just choose not to apply them.
That's right. It's not the understanding that's lacking. Okay.
Ignorance of the law does not excuse you from them. That's what the officer told me.
You are the Lance Armstrong of this podcast.
I didn't go to the moon.
Oh, man. Okay. I missed this.
Don't lie to me. It's two to lie. One to lie and one to listen.
This might catch, you know, can you get sarcasm through this?
Every other week, you're like, God, I don't miss this.
The microphone's really sensitive. It's like, instead of waveforms, it's dripping, dripping sarcasm. Okay, so who wants to go first?
I can go first.
All right, Bess. You're the big Superman fan here.
My number five is Maxima.
Really?
Yes, really. She was just going to Earth to find a mate. And it's kind of a...
Like you do.
You know, it's kind of a...
That's where I find my mates.
On Earth?
Yeah, on Earth.
Yeah. I've never found a mate not on Earth. It's...
Well, she wanted to have babies.
Earth is a meat market.
But yeah, exactly. But this is kind of a role reversal from the Power Girl thing where, what's his name again?
I don't know what you're looking for.
Bartox comes over to find a mate. So that's why Maxima's in there. Because it's kind of a weird role reversal. She was interesting. She was a villain. Then she joined the Justice League.
That's right.
She's a woman of great depth.
Death.
She's like a psychic warrior.
A woman in great depth. She's like the Marianas Trench of superheroes.
Well, not that deep. But yeah, well, you know, and she went all, I mean, she fell for Supes, but she went all Fatal Attraction on him. And to quote Chris Rock in Bigger and Blacker from 12 years ago, if you never contemplated murder, you ain't been in love. So I think Maxima should be number five.
Okay. All right.
I didn't have Maxima on my list.
Did they ever...
I wasn't even on my also-ran.
Did they ever do it?
There's a Armageddon 2001.
Does Superman be like, yeah, I tried
There's that. An Armageddon 2001, what? Which like projects the DC Universe 10 years hence,
uh-huh.
where Lois Lane has died in that reality. And
he killed her.
He marries Maxima.
He marries her.
And he becomes like a space prince, like an aborted future.
So yeah, it's a real thing. That's why I chose her.
The cartoon one's different. She's more like a sword-wielding physical person. But in the comics, it was like psychic powers.
Yeah. I thought she was cool in the comic.
Redhead, Bess?
Yeah.
A redhead?
Hey, I got...
Well, it's for Superman. It's not for you.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
What about us?
You know I can't stay here, Maxima.
Oh. I release you from our betrothal.
Who's your number five, Fern?
Hold on.
Who squeaked in?
Chloe Sullivan.
From the show?
Yes. Chloe Sullivan. Yes. And for all the people, I remember this is a great thing about Smallville, the series finale. People were like, don't spoil the series finale. He becomes Superman, people. We already know this.
But Chloe Sullivan.
Yes.
They never date, do they?
They kind of date. Because
that's why she didn't make my list, because here's the thing. Together.
Here's the thing. My reason for Chloe Sullivan is number five. She's a second string Lana Lang. There is an attraction there. She is basically what he wants to be. His persona of Clark Kent. That's his kind of like cover. Because he is Kal-El. He knows he's different. He knows he's trying to become human. He's trying to fit in. She is what he aspires to be, but he's still in that teenage area. So it's not fully realized in his mind yet. She's a journalist with the school. She's adventurous. She's out there. She's go-getting. So he kind of...
She's kind of junior Lois Lane.
Exactly. But he doesn't know Lois Lane yet.
Yeah.
More or less. And she's also appeared in other continuities. And one of them, she gets with Jimmy Olsen, marries him or whatever. But for this one, it's kind of like that first crush that doesn't really pan out, but it's his awakening of having a relationship.
And it informs who eventually is his iconic love interest. Okay.
But there's not that much of a link, you know, for it to develop as a full relationship. Because there's not enough there to make a full relationship, but it's still just enough that it informs us who he's going to fall in love with. That's why she's number five.
I didn't have her on my list either because I've only watched Smallville like one or two episodes, and half the time I thought it was like Dukes of Hazzard.
Tom Welling does have that Duke look.
Well, it's his father is played by one of the Dukes.
Oh.
Yeah, little soup boys and one dilly of a pickle getting chased by Roscoe Pico Drake.
On my list is Daisy Duke.
But I had Dukes is on everyone's list.
Yeah. Including Superman's. I had Chloe at number two, actually.
Oh, shoot. Oh,
for the same reasons. Okay. Same reasons.
I mean, you're wrong, but still.
I had a little bit extra on there, okay, but I just thought she was a better fit for Clark in Smallville than Lana was.
Okay.
I'm sure after a couple of weeks, you'll forget all about me.
What about you, Marty? What's your number five? Oh, you Superman fan, you.
See, my issue was, I
you clearly did not do the assignment, but carry on.
Yeah. I know Superman, but what I know Superman
you know
from...
Him or you know of him?
No, I've seen the animated series.
Okay.
I've seen a Justice League. Oh, okay. I've read a few comics, but it was always Lois. I've watched Smallville.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm, I put, like, the ones featured in those shows are, like, the two only I know.
That's fine.
Like, you guys sent me a list to help me out, and I was like, what? Superman dated a mermaid? What the hell? I was like, okay, Maxima, what the fuck is this? So that's why my number five, since I watched from Smallville, is Lex Luthor.
Okay.
Because... there's just so much, they're like bros in that show, like young bros, and there's so much like sexual tensions. Like there's so many scenes of just each other looking at each other, be like, why are you doing this, Lex? I don't know. And like they're always so close to kissing. And that's my pick. I don't know.
So Rosenbaum Lex Luthor is your
Rosenbaum Lex Luthor.
Yeah. He was a great Lex. I liked him. He was also a great Flash.
He was a good Flash.
He was.
Like, my first list was just the different actresses who played Lois Lane throughout the years. But I was like, oh, that's breaking a rule, so...
is it?
I don't know.
My number five is Wonder Woman, but...
You won't be happy with my first.
All right, I knew this one would be controversial. It's Wonder Woman.
Relationship is piss.
In Kingdom Come.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So in Kingdom Come is like...
this is older superheroes.
Yeah, Superman and Wonder Woman are older.
Yeah.
And they sort of, and the, like, Earth has more or less been taken over by 90s superhero, like, Image Comics sort of thing.
Oh, that's terrible.
Some people with, well, like, huge shoulders and tiny feet.
Yeah. It was very much a classic comics versus what was now becoming the norm, the 90s aesthetic.
Yeah.
Projected in the future. Alex Ross art looks great. And Superman and Wonder Woman are both older. All the classic heroes are older. Mm-hmm. And I think Lois is dead by this point.
Yes, she is.
And they find, it's like two veteran soldiers who've given up their secret identities and all that, that's not germane to anything anymore. And they find support and comfort, you know, between them.
Mm-hmm.
So having young buck Superman and young gal Wonder Woman of today, like hot young heroes, feels just like an exercise in lust in the comics. It's like, why except that you're both the epitome of the human form. Why would you put these two characters together?
We covered it.
Yeah. When they're older and when everyone else they've loved have died because they were made of paper, these two warriors find like a mature relationship between two veterans kind of makes sense. And it's not about sex. It's about... a common ground and having a common life and a common experience. And as that couple in Kingdom Come, I think works and is not salacious. Wonder Woman kind of slips in at number five.
You know what?
Higher.
I can understand that. Like, the point you make makes sense. Also, I love that you have to explain it with Lois is dead and gone, which pretty much anytime we have one of these horrible relationships that we've talked about in the previous episodes, it's like, well, Lois is dead. So Superman is settling.
Well,
meanwhile, everyone on my list.
I mean, I wouldn't call dating Wonder Woman settling,
and especially not in that context. Because later in life, because earlier when they're young, they don't have anything in common. But at the end of their life, they have so many things in common. They've lived four lifetimes of adventure together, you know. So, yeah. And I can still remember the description of them kissing right before they go to battle.
They can both punch Darkseid in the face.
Oh, they can, and she'd probably kick his ass quicker than Supes can. But you know that description of that kiss, where it's described as like two metal bars just scraping at each other. Just before they go to war. It was a great comic. I like that. I'm agreeing with you.
Thank you, Bass. Fred, well, let's just start on the next one. Number four.
Laurie Lamaris.
Oh, the mermaid.
Yes. And as I promised, Cloaca. She is a sexy, sexy ladyfish.
Yeah.
Why is she number four? He actually proposes to her. So he feels enough for her that he wants to marry her. They are two difference in a world of sames. She's a mermaid. He's a Superman. They both feel ostracized, but together they kind of bond over that. She knows he's Superman because apparently she's telepathic. I mean, when you're a ladyfish, telepathy. Why not?
Does Aquaman approve of this relationship?
Yeah, they're friends. They're not from the same town. They're super friends. No, Aquaman has no problem with this.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Aquaman got freaky with an octopus at one point as a kid, so... Like,
well, who didn't?
Yeah. Well, exactly, you know.
I mean, it's a classic thing.
So, Maritimes over, you know, here, and she actually rebukes him. She goes, no, we can't, because we're from these two different worlds. Ugh. I mean, technically, he's from another world removed, because he lost his home, came here, still a different world. Now she lives under the ocean, Mariana's Trench, etc. So, yeah, it doesn't go there, but he did propose to her. So he did feel strongly to that point to say, hey, I want to marry you and live underneath the ocean with you because I'm Superman. I can probably breathe underwater because it's the Silver Age and I have all the goddamn powers.
Yeah. He also dated her in the modern age. Mm-hmm. There's a John Byrne issue where we go back to, it's like a flashback to college.
And it's basically the same thing.
Yep.
That was my number four. Glow wake up.
But yeah, she's...
Yeah, that's the ultimate Doom part.
Yeah, she's half...
She's the lower half of the fish person.
Yeah.
To be fair, she's my number... She's my number three.
Oh.
Not only she's a fish lady, but Clark didn't know this.
Yeah.
He fell in love with her.
Yeah.
He just fell in love with this bright, beautiful lady who was in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
She's a wheelchair. Well, I thought you were just like always in the water, never showing up.
She was on land.
No, I'm cool here. No, it's okay.
I guess she was like an international student.
Yeah.
Okay.
From Atlantis.
Yeah.
So yeah, he fell in love with her.
She had a blanket over the tail. Yeah.
He didn't know anything about that. So it's not like a weird fish.
Drank a lot of water all the time.
No, he didn't know.
He didn't know.
Despite his super senses, which could look through a blanket.
Yeah,
and but probably, that's impolite.
Or sniff, or sniff really out the fish. Sniff the.
Do you really think Superman looks through women's undergarments?
No, probably not.
Not through them, but no, you check if you have.
You know, check if we had the power, yes. And my number three.
We are lesser men.
Yes. Well, definitely. My number three is going to explain why he wouldn't do that.
Okay.
You didn't put Laurie on your list?
I had no clue he ever dated a mermaid.
Yeah, I didn't put her on my list.
She didn't.
She was on my list.
I read a story. That's what I did. I thought
the mermaid is on my list.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't. This is weird to me.
I got a kiss.
Well, seems sweet, though.
What I liked about her is that she brought out the best out of Clark. I mean, he's not just looking at a nice pair of legs, or just like, you know, he's not we're talking about Silver Age. I mean, he could have been a lot more, you know, superficial or whatever, and yet
dated a horse like his cousin.
Well, in that story, the horse is the weird one. Horse is the weird one in that story, but yeah, so I think she kind of like made Clark shine there. She just proved he was a nice guy,
because I like the idea. It's a very Silver Age-y idea where she's a fantastical creature, a mermaid, like from fantasy, and then he's a science fiction trope.
Yeah.
I like the idea of that Superman, where Superman is more important than Clark Kent.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of Superman dating some fantasy character from another world. I like that idea, and then I found someone else to put in that slot, and Laurie just slipped out and back into her aquarium.
Back to the ocean.
Who is your number four, Marty? Dare I ask?
My number four is, this is a story. I was looking through lists of, like, Superman love interests, and I saw Big Bartha.
Oof.
And she actually made it to number 4.
Well, I couldn't put like my fictional gay relationship with
with Lex.
With Lex higher than 5. So big part of that, I was like, oh, they hooked up. Let's read that issue. And I actually like threw my phone away from it all. So apparently there's this character from the 80s called Sleaze that he was so gross that Darkseid kicked him out of his planet because he found him so gross. So he hypnotized Big Bartha and Superman so they would have sex, and he made a porno film out of that. And that was the story. Like, that's what it was.
Yeah, well,
Superman was in a porno. This is canon. This happened. Superman had sex with Big Bartha in a porno.
Celebrities have sex.
So, my relationship, now I bet they're just, like, tragedy buddies. They're like, wasn't that terrible what we did to each other from Sleaze? And they're like, yeah.
The way it's written, I have this on good authority. People that analyzed the panels trying to make it not happen.
First he made Big Bartha dance for
him. Yeah, the dance.
Yeah, it was weird. Plus, her legs were really long in that picture.
She's always been...
Yeah, but...
And very leggy.
Anyways.
She's a dog.
What a terrible Superman! What a terrible story!
Yeah, John Byrne, the writer artist on this, on that was.
What the fuck?
Was, had a porn fixation. He also wrote the, Fantastic Four issue where She-Hulk gets caught by paparazzi, sunbathing topless on the roof of the Baxter Building.
Mm-hmm.
And then she has to run down the publisher.
Isn't that one of, like, your constantly Googled blog posts?
That is one of my most Googled blog posts where I talk about that.
Sexy right. She-Hulk or something.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That was terrible. That was,
yeah. No, you really had a thing. And that's your number 4. But some people have looked at this and said they didn't necessarily go to porn. It might have just been fooling around. But I agree that when Mr. Miracle looks at the TV...
No, that...
It's got to be more than that.
Oh, it's got to be.
Got to be some awkward moments there.
It was
in the Hall of Justice.
Anyways, awkward moments in the washout.
She's only on my list because she was one of the other characters I knew. Okay. I was like, oh, I know Big Bartha. Cool.
And now you know.
Now I know what happened.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like maybe like romantic, a little fling. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Not viable. Because Bartha and Mr. Miracle are like Superman and Lois. And
yeah.
That's,
yeah.
You don't screw around that.
Now I know why the caged canary sings.
My number 4 is Cat Grant.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Cat Grant, which some people will know from the Supergirl TV show now. She was introduced in the post-crisis Superman canon as another option, so to speak. More of the gossip columnist character at the Daily Planet. And she was always, for lack of a better term, damaged goods.
Yeah.
You know, she'd had a rougher life, perhaps, than Lois and all that. She already had a kid from a previous marriage, and I think that was like an abusive relationship. And she eventually pushed Kat into some sort of heavily made-up smoking kind of character. But originally, she just had a lot of issues in her life, a lot of baggage. Mm-hmm. But the reason I put her on my list at all is because Clark Kent needed to open up to the possibility of romance and all that. And she was sort of she's the girlfriend that she chose you.
So you're saying is Clark Kent needed to have options in who to date?
Well, no, I'm saying that...
Otherwise, at one point, it was just like, well, he can date or he can date Lois.
But he's not going to date Lois.
Right.
He was not dating Lois, not dating Lois, not dating Lois. But you need to, like, break the seal.
Right.
And the way you break the seal is to have a relationship with someone else. And then that makes it, oh, okay, well, it's okay for Superman to date. Or it's okay for me, Clark Kent, to let my guard down without...
Wasn't she also in, like, Superman 3?
No, that would have been too early for Cat Grant. But she was in the Lois and Clark show.
Okay.
She was in the Smallville, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Cat Grant, my number 4, kind of the introductory girlfriend that introduces Clark to a sex life and possibility of romance because Lois is so unattainable early on. She's a good match for Clark, but maybe it's life in the fast lane.
Okay.
And he couldn't really handle that.
I've asked you to have dinner with me 2 times. That's 2 times more than I've ever had to ask any man to do anything.
I'm sorry. I've been really swamped. Lois and I...
Poor Lois. All work and no personality.
Well, moving on to number three.
You don't want to know what my number four is?
Oh, shit. Sorry.
No, number, no, we don't. Oh. Number three. No,
you're right. I'm sorry.
I've got Leela Dahl.
Who?
She's a movie star from Krypton. She
Krypton's gone, buddy.
Oh, no, no. So Silver Age Superman goes back in time.
Oh, right, because he can do that.
And goes to Krypton. So it's his return to Krypton and actually creates a time paradox. But that's not important because he helps his dad to create the ship that'll bring him to Earth. So it's going to work. Anyways, he goes back to Krypton and meets Leela Dahl. She's a movie star. She's beautiful. She's gorgeous. And he really fell in love with her and wanted to marry her, but Krypton exploded.
That puts a damper on things.
Yeah, so that'll ruin your Saturday evening. But yeah. So, yeah, that's my pick. Leela kind of comes back later.
As a villain.
Yeah.
As a Kandorian villain.
Godfall, that series, early 2000 series. And she's like this mega super psychic who can just like grab your powers. And she's like, she's basically like Rogue from the X-Men, but with psychic abilities. And, okay. And she goes nuts. She's nuts. So she's not my...
She's not there.
She's not the one. Okay. I like the, you know, it's like if Superman went back to Krypton and started dating that planet's Marilyn Monroe.
Did anyone else have Leela on their list?
Nope. She was not even my also-rans.
She's my favorite character.
She was in my also-rans as well. It's like, I think there's this weird thing. It only works in the Silver Age.
I think so.
Yeah. Where Superman is attracted to these sort of glamour queens. You know, that's how the adult Lana Lang was portrayed as well. And it only works when Superman is after parades and medals and statues, which is the Silver Age Superman.
Right.
So that's your number four.
Your number four. Number three. Marty, let's start with you this time.
Yeah. My pick is Mike just mentioned her, Cat Grant.
Oh.
Yes. Not for any appearances in comics at all, because I've never read anything where she was in. I think she only got on my list because I've been watching Supergirl, and she's awesome at that show. I wish that Cat Grant would date Clark or something. That could be fun.
Well, they kind of hinted that they had some...
That something happened?
Yeah, because she was all nervous when Clark came over. I don't know if you watched that.
It started season two.
But she was... First time we ever saw Cat Grant nervous.
Yeah, that could
so
be...
So there was something.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. But she was in Smallville, too, but I think she only, like, appeared because I think the actresses that were doing Lois and Lana just had other movies or projects, so they kind of left the show for a while, and she, like, appeared just to, like, fill in the blank, and she was kind of just a eye candy type blank character. She wasn't very interesting, but, yeah, it's like, sure, Fling, that's my first actual pick in my list.
That you actually think is viable?
Yeah, that's my first actual pick. The first two I said, ignore that. Edit that out.
Gay Superman.
Gay Superman. Forced Barno relationship.
And then actual character.
That, yeah.
Finally.
We bring you
from all the lists I could find online, those are the characters I knew.
So, are you still seeing Lois Lane, or did that fizzle out like I predicted in the office pool? No one ever sent me my $20.
My number three is from Superman number 165's The Sweetheart Superman Forgot, Sally Selwyn. And to better introduce Sally Selwyn, she will be our featured character in the Romance Comics Theater. So let's just listen to that, and you'll be introduced to Sally, the sweetheart that Superman forgot.
Turn it off! How do you think I feel, seeing that TV newsreel of mighty Superman in action? Me, a broken cripple. You've got beauty, wealth. Why do you want to marry someone like me?
Because, Jim, I love you.
What's this? Superman suffering from amnesia and no longer possessing superpowers, envying himself while in another identity, completely unaware that in his forgotten past he was the Man of Steel? Prepare now to read one of the most amazing episodes in Superman's career. See Superman as you never saw him before. Helpless, minus his memory and powers. Being loved by a girl who loves him for himself alone. It's a story you'll never forget. The super ironic tale about the sweetheart Superman forgot. One day, in the Daily Planet newsroom...
Uh-oh. According to this news flash, astronomers predict an unidentified flying object is about to collide with the orbiting Telstar satellite.
After Clark Kent changes to his secret identity of Superman, then flashes up into outer space.
Caught it! Just in time. Oh, I'm beginning to tingle all over. The usual warning sign that I'm about to be affected in some strange way by red kryptonite. My X-ray vision reveals a large piece of red kryptonite inside the capsule. Well, off into the sun with it. One of my space foes must have sent it toward Earth, hoping to catch me in a cosmic booby trap. I better fly to my fortress on Earth, quickly. I'll hide out there until the effects of this red kryptonite wear off. I wonder what strange reaction it will work on me this time. It never works twice the same way on any super being, and it always wears off within 48 hours.
Later.
A strange compulsion has forced me to alight on this countryside. It's making me take off my uniform and put on my civilian garments. I can't stop myself. I'm compelled to remove and hide everything that can identify me as being Superman or Clark Kent.
Moments afterward.
There. I buried the Superman costume, my wallet, and my initialed handkerchief. Red K once gave me amnesia, and another time it made me lose my superpowers. So I don't have to worry about those effects.
That's what you think, Clark. Shortly, as the noon sun beats down on Clark.
The sun's heat. It's making me weak. And I'm thirsty, too. Hard to keep walking. Great Scott! I just realized it. I've lost my superpowers!
Next, the final effect of the red kryptonite manifests itself on Clark. Amnesia.
Who am I? What am I doing here? I can't remember anything.
Clark doesn't know it, but the form of red kryptonite that he's been exposed to is a freak type, which repeats past effects and does not wear off for weeks. Shortly, robbed of his memory and his superpowers, Clark wanders until...
I'm thirsty. Please give me something to drink, boy. Why, you're not a boy. You're a girl. A very pretty girl.
Thanks for the compliment. Here, have some milk.
Oh.
He took a couple of swallows and fainted. Hey, Luke! Give me a hand with a stranger. He must be sick.
Soon, at a mansion on the great property, which includes the farm...
You usually just bring home stray dogs, Sally. You outdid yourself this time.
He probably passed out because of the sunstroke, Dad. He's sleeping naturally now.
Judging from his expression, he must be having a nightmare.
Great Scott! The movie monster escaped off the screen! I'll capture it if it's the last thing I ever do. Ever do. Ever do.
By a strange quirk of Clark's subconscious mind, in his dream he wears a red and blue doorman costume and flies, a distorted similarity to his forgotten Superman identity. Later...
So you're awake now, eh? I'm Digby Selwyn. This is my daughter, Sally. You can stay here until you're completely well. I know what it means to need help, son. I wasn't always prosperous.
What's your name?
Name? Can't remember. Something warns me not to admit I don't remember things. I'm Jim White.
Subconsciously, Clark has combined the name of his two forgotten friends, Jimmy Olsen and Perry White.
If you need anything, just ask Hawkins, our butler.
Next morning...
How does this, thing work?
I'll demonstrate, sir. Artie doesn't know how to handle an electric shaver.
Of course not. As Superman, Jim never shaved, for his hair couldn't grow in Earth's atmosphere. Later that day, as the Selwyn show Jim around their property...
I'm glad you're better, Jim. Storm arising.
Some blasted fool left that pitchfork beside the dynamite where the water pipelines are being built. If lightning is attracted to the metal pitchfork in this open area, the dynamite will explode. The pipeline will be destroyed. We better leave.
They've been good to me. Maybe I can return the favor.
Don't be a fool, you'll be killed.
What courage? Fashioned in a noose? He lassoed the pitchfork and is dragging it away from the dynamite.
Then, as Jim lets the pitchfork fall a safe distance away and rejoins the others.
Lightning's striking it now. But thanks to Jim, there's no explosion. He saved the pipeline.
He's brave, resourceful. I want that man on my payroll.
That evening, Jim is tormented by another nightmare.
Huh? Green and red rocks closing in on me from all directions. I'm trapped. There's no escape. I'm doomed.
And as he awakens in a cold sweat...
What a strange dream. Why should I have been frightened by green and red rocks?
What Jim doesn't realize is that the rocks symbolized green and red kryptonite, always a menace to Superman. Next day, at some Timberland property owned by the Selwyns.
Okay, you're hired. Miss Sally says so. But I warn you, lumberjacking is dangerous work. For he-men only.
I think Jim can take care of himself, Bart.
Shortly.
I saw how Miss Sally looked at White. She's sweet on him. But he's not kidding me. He's as much after her dough as I am. Speed it up there!
Ironically, Jim could have felled the tree with one blow when he was Superman.
Timber!
Quit flapping your lips and get to work on another tree, pronto! I'll ride him so hard, he'll get disgusted and quit.
Later, as Sally returns to see how Jim is making out.
Hey, quit fooling with them traps I set to catch some minks and pick up some extra cash.
I can't stand seeing a helpless creature suffer. This fawn got caught in your trap.
I'd have beat your ears in for that, Wyatt. Oh, Sally, I didn't know you just came. Just Josh and Jim here.
In the future, stick to logging and get rid of those cruel traps. Jim is kind, as well as manly. I like that.
You made me look bad before the Selwyn Dam. I'll get even. Any logger worth his salt can ride logs downriver to the mill. Get on that log and show us how good you are.
Careful, Jim.
And as Jim ventures onto the log.
While she's dismounting and not looking, I'll make the log spin. That dumb dude doesn't know this happens to be a water-soaked log that'll soon sink under his weight.
Seconds later...
Can't keep my balance!
And as the rookie logger is herded ashore...
Miss Sally, how's about you and me go step into the barn dance together tonight?
Sorry, Bart. I've already decided to go with Jim.
What a fine girl. The attempt of Bart to humiliate me backfired against him. I'd like to take her, but I don't remember how to dance. I can't dance.
It's simple. I'll teach you this afternoon.
That evening...
You sure look lovely, Sally.
Thanks, Jim. You picked up the dance steps quickly. Wouldn't it be fun if we won the dance contest? Jim's brave, kind, and handsome.
Sally's the prettiest girl here. She's wonderful.
Yes, sirree, the prize, a $50 gift certificate, is yours. Congratulations.
Gosh, I can't believe it.
Presently, as Jim and Sally step outside for some fresh air. But after a breathless moment.
Forgive me, Sally. I'm in love with you, yes. But I don't have the right to ask a girl like you to marry me.
I'll never forget that kiss, Jim, dearest. I love you too. As for money, that's no problem. See those woods, the old wells, farmland? They belong to Dad. When he retires soon, he'll need someone like you to run things.
Thanks, Sally, but I want to build my own future without help. Maybe you're good luck for me. I hear they're having a rodeo contest in town tomorrow. Whoever stays the longest on Black Terror, a wild bronco, will win $5,000. I'll enter that contest. Without money, I could start a business of my own. I feel like I can't lose. Wish me luck.
With all my heart.
Bart, a jealous rival, has been overhearing the pair. Next day in town, after Jim spends his gift certificate.
I know it's only a cheap engagement ring, but it's all I could afford.
It's beautiful, Jim. Thank you, darling.
Another irony. As Superman, Jim had been able to transform lumps of coal into diamonds with the mere super pressure of his fist. Meanwhile, at the rodeo...
Nobody's looking. The loco weed I'm putting into Black Terror's feed will drive him half crazy. He'll become the most dangerous killer on four legs.
Shortly.
Guess we'll have to call off the big contest, folks. Nobody dares ride Black Terror today. I never seen him acting this mean before.
I'll ride him.
No, Jim, you mustn't.
Wow, that ain't no horse. It's a tornado.
Hold on, Jim. Hold on.
Oh, go on. Fall and break your neck already.
Jim? Jim! How is he, Doctor?
He could be seriously injured, I'm afraid. I'll take him to the hospital for a thorough examination.
Several days later, in the Selwyn mansion, after Jim has been released from the hospital.
Isn't it time we set a wedding date, Jim?
Don't you understand? The doctor said I may be crippled for life. Forget about me.
Never. There's a 50-50 chance a certain European surgeon can cure you. Whether you ever walk again or not, I love you, Jim. Nothing can change that. Please marry me right away.
I won't let you make such a sacrifice. I can't stand pity.
Pity has nothing to do with it. I love you, darling. Please think it over, then tell me your decision.
All right, Sally.
Then, as Jim wheels himself towards a secluded spot.
Hello, Wyatt. How's it feel to be only half a man? Not so good, eh? Why not marry Sally for her money? Maybe if you play on her sympathy enough.
Your brain is sicker than my body. Get away from me!
He's looking down toward the raging waters, eating his heart out. Now to give him a good scare. This boulder will barely miss him.
Bart's a cruel bully. Is he right? Am I half a man? I love Sally too much to let her marry me just because she pities me. That boulder!
Oh, the boulder bounced over against a wheelchair, overturning it. He's falling into the river. I better vamoose before someone sees me. Bye-bye, Jim boy, forever.
Down sinks Jim beneath the rushing water.
Helpless. Can't swim. I'm blacking out. Drowning.
As Sally and her father rush to investigate the scream they heard.
He's dead. Jim's dead. He must have thrown himself in the river. I think I only wanted to marry him out of pity.
There, Sally. I know how grief-stricken you feel now, but you'll get over it, dear. Time heals all wounds.
I loved him with all my heart.
And later, when Sally is alone.
This picture someone took of us at the dance, all I have to remember him by. Why did you do it, Jim? Why didn't you believe me? I'll never love anyone else till the day I die.
And now the scene shifts to Atlantis, where several days later...
Lori Lamaris, my mermaid friend from Atlantis. What am I doing here beneath the sea in this air-filled chamber?
You were drowning, but fortunately your fellow Justice League member Aquaman was patrolling the inland waters and spotted you. He brought you here speedily, and you used a new form of artificial respiration to revive you.
As Lori continues to communicate with Clark via her telepathic powers.
For a week, you've been in a delirium. You didn't know who you were. How did you lose your memory and your superpowers?
I remember being exposed to Red K and burying all identifying articles after that. It's all a blank, but I'm really fully recovered now.
Shortly.
Farewell. I'm glad I was able to help you until your superpowers returned.
Now to regain the Superman costume and Kent identification I hid.
Recovering his possessions, he returns to the planet as Clark Kent.
Where have you been all this time?
I can't tell you, Lois. I was on a secret mission with Superman. Inasmuch as I am Superman, that's no lie. But I do wonder what did happen to me while I had amnesia.
Later, as a schoolgirl reporter visits Lois.
Miss Lane, I'm doing a feature for my school paper. Do you think Superman will ever marry?
I doubt it. I'm afraid his career comes first. I ought to know.
I guess she's right. I'm too busy handling great emergencies ever to fall in love. Anyway, I'm always afraid girls don't love me for myself, are merely dazzled by my fame and superpowers. I wonder how it would feel to be really loved for myself? I guess I'll never know.
Strange, isn't it? Superman doesn't know that a girl exists whom he once loved, and that she still loves him for himself alone.
It would be nice if there were such a girl. No such luck.
Jim, my love for you will never die.
Will the paths of Superman and Sally ever cross again? Does fate have an even more bittersweet destiny in store for these two? Watch future issues for the most ironic Superman tale ever published. The End.
The Sweetheart Superman Forgot from Superman Volume 1, Number 165 by Jerry Siegel and Al Plastino. Cover date, November 1963. With the Irredeemable Shag as Rod Serling, Michael Bailey as Superman, Clark Kent, and Jim White, Rachel Bailey as Sally Selwyn, Chris Franklin as Mr. Selwyn, the Dance Contest Judge, and the Country Doctor. Siskoid as Hawkins and the Rodeo Caller, with Fern as Bart, and featuring Cassidy Gaudet as Lori Lamaris, Nat Gauguin as Lois Lane, and Isabelle Gauguin as The Intern.
Voila.
That was great.
Voila.
That
bravo. Was great. Bravo.
Yeah.
Bravo.
Bravo.
Thanks
bravo.
For everyone who, it's a large cast of characters. Thanks to the Baileys and the rest. So, this is like the double L, the hidden double L, isn't it? Sally has a double L in it, and Selwyn has also...
And it's still alliteration, because it's SS.
Yeah.
But it's not so on the nose that it would have woken up Superman's memories. So, the reason I put Sally in the middle there is because that whole story, that Clark Kent / Superman has this thing about, well, some people like me just as one of the identities, or, you know, like, Lois only likes me because... I'm Superman, and at this point, she doesn't give a rat's ass about Clark Kent.
Right.
I want someone who loves me for me, and me being Clark Kent, or me being not someone with the aura of Superman. And this is what happens, because he loses his powers, he loses his memories, he doesn't even know that's what it is.
Right.
But he's got the same personality, and Sally falls in love with that. Not the made-up personality of Clark Kent that he has to put on at the office, not to get caught. Not the Superman persona, a kind of a blend of the two where he is brave and adventurous, but also...
Without powers.
Right. Yeah. And so she falls in love with him, but again, a sort of glamorous, rich person. Yeah. And there's just a lot of that.
Flowy blonde hair.
Yeah. Because Sally loves him for him, and there's a tragic element where he doesn't remember that he even fell in love with this woman. She's somewhere crying because... She thinks he's dead.
Yeah, because he falls in a river.
Yeah. Like, for her, she lost the man she was going to marry. So I like that, the tragic nature of that. And, of course, it's got a reset, like a Silver Age reset button. And it's, you know, a lot of this is a lot of coincidences. And but this, if they remembered each other, that would be an actual match and someone he could share his life with and, you know, ride horses and stuff. As you do in the country.
Yeah.
There's sort of a link to Lana Lang as well. You know, like, he's a country boy, and so he falls in love with a country girl, and maybe he's fallen in love with a country girl before.
Yeah.
If she winds up on any of our lists. No one else at Sally?
Nope.
No.
Sad.
We're all wrong.
Bas, who's your number three?
My number three was Laurie Lamaris.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the mermaid lady. Yeah, so that's that.
Disgust. Fern, you're number three.
All right. Ready to have your panties blown, gentlemen?
All time.
My number three is America.
Lady Liberty.
Lady Liberty. America.
The joke is Lady Liberty.
America is his first love.
Oh.
Okay.
Because explain.
I was really debating between America and Martha Kent. But we had
some
the
of
whole,
that Aunt May
had,
bullshit.
Yeah. And you know, I remember the last episode with Aunt May's, and no, it has to be romantic. Well, he is in love with America because all of his early stories, it's all about how he's an alien, he's from another planet, he's having a crisis of identity every day. And who brings him back home? Because he's got Pa Kent, but he also has Jor-El, and there's always a kind of this fight between the two. But he only has his mom, Ma Kent, and she brings him home. Apple pie, country, Kansas born, all that. He is America, iconic America. So he loves America. Everything about him is America. I mean, to the point where they made this huge story about, what if he didn't live in America? And he landed in Ukraine, it's Red Sun. It's like, if that is such a big part of his identity, his love for America, that they gotta go and make a what-if story if he landed elsewhere, that's important. Like, all the early comics of where he's like, this guy told me that I have to say phooey on America. Nah, dog. No, this is Superman. He's not gonna say phooey on America. He's gonna beat the crap out of you.
So it's like the immigrant / refugee story.
Exactly.
The love of new country.
So for him, it is his love of America, because everything about Clark Kent, he espouses the whole American dream. So, yeah. And it's funny because all this was written by a Canadian boy.
Actually, no. The writer was, I think the artist was Canadian.
Yeah. Same thing.
They helped each other for sure.
Yeah. I'm going to draw an alien. I'm going to give him legs and arms and some brown hair. Put some glasses on that. Alien.
Marty, you've got to have a number three.
Superman totally just ripped off Goku. Same story. Wow. Huh. Who knew?
We have to make, like, have podcasts with millennials.
We're not millennials.
They talk like them. They walk like them.
I'm sorry.
Who's this Goku person they keep talking about?
You sent me a late Goku versus Goku's Superman from the 80s. The other
day. Fern's a late era Baby Buster.
Oh yeah,
Baby right. Buster.
We're early Baby Busters.
No, we're Gen Xers.
No, we're not Gen Xers.
Yes, we
no,
are.
No, Gen Xers are like the little brothers and sisters of the Baby Boomers. They're very different. Only we are cynical enough so to be Gen called y? Baby Busters.
Baby.
Yeah. Busters. Marty's a Gen Y. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a Gen Y.
Yeah, I'm cynical.
I'm a horse. No, the system doesn't work. That's why I'm self-publishing these podcasts.
You show, man. You show big establishment, yeah. Man.
And I already gave my number 3, by the way. It was the first.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. I said Cat Grant. So we're on number 2 now.
And I'm starting.
Yep.
Well, my number 2 is Lana Lang.
Oh.
What?
Me too.
Oh.
Yeah, we met.
All right. Oh. No, I don't like Lana Lang.
Right. Oh, you don't have Lana Lang on your books at all.
Actually, she is on my book as a deliberate no. Oh, geez.
Because you're wrong.
Okay, right. It's not any Lana Lang.
Okay.
Okay. So the Silver is
the idea of Lana Lang?
No. It's not just any
you're
Lana
Lang. Not going to give me that I like the idea of bullshit? Come on.
I like your coat.
These are comic book characters. They're all ideas.
Right? I know.
Okay.
Sorry. I just wanted to say that.
It's not the Lana. It's not the teenage Lana who was in the Silver Age, who was just as jerky version of Lois Lane, trying to, you know, ferret out the secret identity of Clark Kent and all that. Mm-hmm. It's not her. It's not the Silver Age adult Lana, who's sort of a glamorous fashionista who eventually became his co-anchor on the new show when he went to TV.
She kind of became the poor man's Lois Lane.
Yeah, they kept putting like Superman between these two, yeah. And that Lana I don't care about. It's the post-crisis Lana. The Lana who was his Smallville friend. They dated, but they really were just best friends and someone he came out to. She was like the first person he came out to as Superman, except for his parents. So I like the idea of a strong friendship that came out of a relationship and might, in our reality where Lois Lane is not an option, might go back to that dynamic. He's close enough to her that it could be a strong relationship or a strong romantic relationship, but they just went another way. They just kept it platonic in the later days. But I like that idea of Lana, the farm girl, not the annoying Lois wannabe, but her own woman. And so I have her at number 2. Not quite number 1, though.
That's why she's my number 1 for pretty much every... Yeah. Spoilers! I might have more to say.
Yeah, okay. We'll see when we hit number 1.
See, Lana's not even close to being my number 2.
Oh, who
she's
is your
like,
number
2? My number 2 is Chloe Sullivan.
Oh, right.
But here's...
Because you're wrong.
Here's the link.
You're wrong.
Here's the link.
And Big Bartlett was right? No, you were still wrong. But carry on.
But Chloe, that's why Chloe's my number 2. It's because of the Smallville show.
Okay, well, yeah.
Because of Smallville, Chloe's my number 2. And because of Smallville, Lana is gone forever. I can't even remember her name. The girl who played, she played Chung Li and everything.
Christine Crook?
Oh, you mean Ming Na Wen?
I thought
Ming Na Wen.
She was so beautiful. I fell in love with this lady because I was younger. And you
then you watched Legend of Chun Li and I was like, oh my God.
No, I didn't. I didn't, but she, I don't know. For some odd reason. That character, it's not the actress, it has nothing to do with the actress. But the character from Smallville, she was so needy and mixed up, and she was always playing these little heartstring games with Clark and Lex, and she was, I just hated her. So that's why, because of Smallville, Lana's out.
But Chloe's in.
Because she was actually a better fit in Smallville, because she was great in Smallville.
Yeah.
But I picked Lana second, but I picked her because of Smallville.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh. At all. Twist.
It was more, at first, she was the cool...
She was awesome at
first. She was awesome at first. But it's true. After a while, like, they introduced Lois, and Lois in that show was kind of weird.
Oh, I still like her, though.
Yeah, but it was like...
I still like
her. I didn't feel like Lois fit at all in that show. It was like, hey, young Superman, Smallville, before he's Superman, here's Lois Lane. Like, okay. And I feel like she also seemed way older than super, what's the name, Tom Welling? You know, handsome boy Tom Welling. He looked like a kid compared to, like, Lois. She seems so mature. But I thought the relationship with Lana was actually nice at first. But it's true, after a while, she got with Lex, and it was weird.
Then who does that?
I don't know. It's weird.
Did we skip your number 2, Fern?
My number 2 is Loana. Do you know Loana?
Is she a mermaid?
No.
Half horse. Love her.
No.
Centaur.
She is a half, though. So you're right.
Satire.
There. No. She's part of the DC animated universe. That one episode that was for the man who has everything, mm-hmm. where Mongol delivers the Black Mercy to Superman in the Fortress of Solitude.
Oh, yeah. She's
and they redid it again in Supergirl. Yeah, but it different spin.
And then again in Arrow.
Oh, yeah.
They did it in Arrow?
You know why they're always doing it again?
What do
you
mean?
Because it's good.
Because the first time they did it,
yeah.
Jason Todd saved the day. Nobody wants Jason Todd to save the day. Jason Todd Robin.
So wait, does Green Arrow wake up in Krypton? And he's like, cool.
And then someone's like, shit, we forgot to reset.
Well, every time they do a, you know, everybody's done it. You know, Star Trek's done it many times.
It's a trope.
Okay, so in the Black Mercy universe.
Loana is a gestalt of Lois, which is me cheating right now, putting Lois in the list.
She's just like
Lois. But it's Lois and Lana smashed together. This is where he's dreaming that he's actually living on Krypton. He's got a kid. He's got a beautiful wife, which is essentially Lois with Lana's hair, and both of their names mixed together. Sorry, she's a redhead bastard. I'm real sorry.
It's fine.
It's tragic. Fine.
I don't discriminate. It's just not, you know.
Yeah, it's fine. So for him, this is his dream, and this is why Loana is actually higher, because in his dream, he's not in America. That's why America's third. He's on Krypton. Yeah, he loves America. Oh, he really loves him. But nope, he's going to dream that he's on Krypton. And maybe that's why he realizes it's a dream. Because even his heart's desire, Lois is there. Man, Lana just sneaks in past the post and she's got to get in there somehow. So she is, that's why she's my number one. Because even in number two, she's still there. Even in number two, Lois is there, but nah, Lois needs something else. Lois is missing something. Just a little bit of Lana. It's like, why choose between Betty and Veronica when you can have Betty and Veronica?
When you can have Veronica.
Veronica.
Spoiler for Riverdale.
Betty.
Betty. I like Betty.
Oh my god, are we at number one?
We're
now?
Number one.
Number one.
Number one. Some of us have said what our number one is, but let's still go around the table. Mine has not been said yet.
Oh.
But let's start with Bass.
All right. My number one was Cat Grant.
Right. Oh, okay. That was your number one.
That was my number one. I didn't say it before because I wanted to keep a little
surprise.
Bit of
it. It is a surprise.
But it's not Cat Grant from the comics. It's really Cat Grant from Supergirl. Because I think Cat Grant from Supergirl is closer to a Lois Lane type. She's smart. She's an entrepreneur. She has this huge business. She's powerful. She only has one thing that could not work. She could date Clark Kent, but he could never tell her that he's Superman. Because she would put it up on billboards. And it wouldn't be, you know, I'm Superman's girlfriend. It would be, he's my boyfriend. You know, it would be Superman, Cat Grant's boyfriend. You know, and so she just loves the spotlight too much. And that's probably the only reason why he wouldn't go for that Cat Grant. And also, I just love that Cat Grant.
Yeah, this is pretty cool.
Love her to pieces.
I approve. Cat Grant's great.
Yeah, sure.
Your number one was Lana.
Lana Lang. Yeah, she's always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Although she'd probably been married like 50 times in the comics anyways.
Didn't she marry Pete? She married Pete. Who does that?
But see, you know, my reasonings were, you know, she is his childhood friend. She's sometimes his girlfriend. You know, they have just this long, enduring relationship. And in one of the multiply erased timelines, she was the first person that he told his secret of being Superman. She's his Mary Jane Watson. If there is an equivalent, she's his Mary Jane Watson. And I'm just straight up Team Lana. Sorry.
There you go.
You know what? Cool. She's very loyal. So I get it. She's not my favorite, but
you know, I mean, but
chronologically, you know, she was the first.
Yeah,
I get it. But he was pulling her pigtails when they were toddlers,
as he should. She's a redhead. I don't do that to redheads. I'm kidding. It's like, just not.
I was just about to say that sounds like a sex move.
Pulling her pigtails. But then, Bess, you ruined it.
Well, you guys can have all the, you know. Who was your number one, Marty?
My number one pick is Batman.
I thought for sure Fern would be doing this.
He's on my list of also rans.
No, I'm kidding. That was a joke. I mean, they shared both mothers' names.
Your mom's name is Martha, too.
What's it called? Martha. Oh, Martha. Oh, Martha, yes.
Martha. You know what? I watched the super extended edition R-rated.
Oh, my God. Why would you do that to yourself? Because
I need to know. I can't live not knowing. And you know what? That part's still stupid.
Okay, my actual pick, which will make you just as pissed as Batman.
Okay.
Wonder Woman.
Okay, she did manage to get on the list.
She's number one.
Wow.
She's number one.
Wow.
That's pissed.
Yeah. I picked Wonder Woman. I know we had a whole episode where we talked like why it doesn't work, but at the same time, what's more fun than Superman and Wonder Woman together? They're like the ultimate power couple.
Superman and Batman together. Superman and the Flash. Super Dog.
Yeah, but
Superman and
friends.
Flash would be over
super
before
friends.
It started.
Superman, Wonder Woman will be a super couple. They're like Jay-Z and Beyonce. You get the most powerful people in the world, put them together. I mean, you can't go better. Like,
now imagine Superman singing formation.
Like, where every guy probably wants to date Wonder Woman, every guy probably wants to date Superman. And they're still fun power couple. Like, they could fight crime together, like, do other things. It'd be awesome.
She has a lasso, he has a cape.
Yeah.
I get it.
Controversial.
She'd tie him up for kinky stuff, and she'd be like, tell him, and he'd be like,
we're not
going to
kink shame. We're not going to kink shame.
And he'd be like, not kink shaming.
We're not going to kink shame.
We're not. That's not what that was.
Kink encouraging,
yes. Kink
encouraging.
I bet they would have fun. Like, I don't know. I like it. Not that bad. I thought about it a lot.
Like, see, now I know you're
well,
lying.
No, it's a thing.
Because your list started out with gay Superman, cuck porn, and then now Wonder Woman.
I thought about it a lot.
Because those were the three characters I actually knew that dated Superman.
I'm just wondering.
Those were the only three.
At this point, it's you just made your list as you were coming up the stairs to record this podcast.
No, I watched the whole. I watched all the animated series, TV show Smallville, and I'm sorry, but never dated a mermaid in Smallville. I didn't see that episode.
Actually,
Smallville's in the middle of Kansas.
Exactly.
A landlocked state. There are no mermaids.
I mean, Aquaman was in there.
Yeah. The only family with a swimming pool.
I guess that's where they jumped the shark.
Whoa.
But yes. Yeah, I mean, if we're going to remove Lois, why not Wonder Woman?
Well, we listed in the episode two.
But she might still be ahead of others.
Yeah. I mean, Superman's not going to go date his childhood crush when he's out fighting crime all the time now. He's like, Wonder Woman's fighting crime. She gets it. Why not?
Here's my number one.
Oh.
Ooh. Let's change the tone.
Amy Adams version of Lois Lane.
No. Lola La.
Lola La.
Lola La.
I thought you were going to say Martian
Lola
Manhunter.
La.
There is a storyline in the post-crisis Superman books called Blackout, where it's another amnesia story. What gives him permission to fall in love with someone other
Superman
than Lois?
Superman has the worst memory.
I know. So he and a villain called Mr. Z wash up on a sort of dinosaur island.
You had me at dinosaur
right?
Island. Now, my first question is, and I hate to stop you, is Mr. Z anything but a Z-lister villain?
No.
Because
he's a Z-lister villain.
Okay.
Please tell me.
Because if he was anything above that, I would say, this is factually wrong, because he's Mr.
Okay.
Z.
So, please tell me Lola La is a dinosaur or the island.
Very close. Lola La is the chief's daughter. There's a tribe there. It's like a Polynesian tribe.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Lola La is the chief's daughter. That Superman almost marries.
What kind of hipster pick is this?
Well, I'm going to show you pictures.
Okay.
Because this chick is gorgeous. She's shapely. She spends the entire run of those issues topless. And
she don't care.
And
not even like in a coconut bra.
Nope.
Wow. Okay.
She has a lei, but you know she's evidently topless. Man. And in that topless attire,
she fights and rides dinosaurs. And she finds that, oh, this stranger with a strange language that has washed up on shore, finally someone worthy of a chief's daughter. It's the Larry Lamaris spot. This is something, I put La 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 like fifth. And then I kept looking at the others and said,
Yeah.
And then I took out Laurie, and then somehow she rose to the fucking top. And the reason is, she's a Larry Lamaris, a fantasy character from Dinosaur Island.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of Superman finding a physical match.
Right.
Kind of thing. She's not superhuman, but a physical match.
Yeah. Well, she was rugged. I mean, if all of a sudden Superman washes up and she says, finally, somebody who can handle me.
Right.
Well, she's...
So I like that. I like, you know, I like women that can snap me in half.
Who doesn't?
So, yeah. So that idea is there. And he could have, like, the double life. Let's say this worked. He could have a double life where he visits Dinosaur Island. He has his wife on Dinosaur Island kind of thing. And then fights crime, whatever. And he doesn't need to do the whole Clark Kent stuff necessarily.
Right.
You know, just...
He could just be Cal on the island.
On the island.
Yeah. And just go fight crime with Superman and come back home. And instead of the fortress.
Look at this girl. This is from the cover of Superman Man of Steel number 6.
Okay.
Oh, my.
Yep.
Rubbing up against him. And she's not like a...
Is that her dad, like, cheering?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, get that guy.
His dad's really like a sort of kind of Neanderthal kind of guy.
She comes from strong stock.
Yeah. She's not your normal beauty from the comics. You know, she's much rounder. And I like the visual of it. And she even has a tiara that looks kind of like Wonder Woman's. So there's like, there's a kind of a hint.
Well, she's like kind of a princess also.
Yeah, just, you know. She's the Wonder Woman of Dinosaur Island of Paradise Island.
Somebody watched Moana recently.
You know, that's the same kind of groove to that. So, yeah. So, Lo La La, also a double L, and it's like triple L. My number one. A weird pick, but I don't find fault with her that I find with others where didn't quite work out. It's like
she's out of the circles. I mean, she doesn't ride in any circles that
except
Superman
dinosaur
has.
Riding circles.
Well, you know how you have these social circles, you know, you have your like your friends and your work people and Superman has that. He has like the work people from the Daily Planet and then, you know, Justice League.
The Kansas people
and the Kansas League. Yeah, but this one she's just completely out of the circles.
Yep.
Yeah. What did he do for
and
fun?
That's useful.
You survived. We killed dinosaur.
So that's
but at the same time, she's like, she's kind of, she giggles. Like, I reread the issue, and so she giggles at stuff he does. And it's like a sweet relationship, but also one where she's not that impressed with him. And she rides this Triceratops that he fights the Triceratops, and she goes like, dude, that's my favorite mount. Jackass. So she's not afraid.
Dude, that's my car.
And he just pulled down a giant Triceratops. I think it's even bigger than
what it was supposed to be.
Yeah. So he just knocks it out, and she's she gets angry with him, and she's self-possessed. I like that. Anyway, that's my number one. So who didn't make it? Who almost made it?
La La Lang.
Shut up.
Everyone else, I don't know.
Barda's on my no list.
Yeah, Barda's on my no list. Supergirl's on my no list.
Yeah.
Supergirl's, she didn't even make any cut.
I don't care if it was, at one point they had him kiss Linda Danvers, it was like the Matrix, I guess, wasn't blood related.
No, it's still weird.
I don't like it.
Like,
that's why Power Girl's out also. I mean, alternate reality, otherverse, Supergirl,
And same thing with Luma Lanai, or however it's pronounced, like the original Supergirl, who looks just like Supergirl, but isn't.
Yeah. It was just too weird to me, so they're like, no, cut. Like,
my top contenders list, as I like to call it, I had Lex Luthor, Batman, Wonder Woman, Supergirl, and one that we have yet to mention, the bottled city of Kandor.
The entire
thing. Oh, because much like fucking Red Sun, that thing has been retconned in a whole bunch of what ifs. And this is a city that he keeps in a bottle, like underneath his bed or something.
Well, it's
he just cares for it.
it's on a shelf.
It's
a major plot point from a major Brainiac issue, but I mean, everybody cares.
This is like, he cares for it way too much. And, you know, they invite him, come, join in our festivities. And he can just basically go, you know, guys, I can just fucking smash this bottle, right?
He could, but it's the last living thing from Krypton, and he's powerless.
Why keep it in a bottle, then?
What do you do with it? You can't just leave him just going everywhere. You can't have Lilliputians with superpowers running around. I mean, he's trying to make him bigger again, and isn't that the plot line for, like, New Krypton?
He's trying to make him bigger. That's just like fucking Mr. Fantastic and Ben Grimm.
Trying to make Ben Grimm
I'm
going to
turn
better.
You back into Ben Grimm. I'll never be able to do this again. Oh shit, we need you as a thing again. I thought you said, give me 2 weeks. And then I'll never be able to reverse it again.
They're obviously happy in that bottle. It must be like a communist utopia. They don't need to worry about food or money. Superman can just give him whatever he wants.
Just they're drops a crumb in there. He drops an apple and they're like ants.
An apple and they're good for like years.
He goes in and he fights crime as Firebird. Firebird? Flamebird?
He's either Nightwing or Flamebird.
He's either Nightwing or Flamebird.
I think he's Nightwing.
Yeah. That's great.
Flamebird sounds like the shittiest made up superhero image.
It is, but he still goes in and fights crime.
Although, surprisingly, on looking on this Superman's history, what I noticed, like, compared to, like, other characters, he did not date that many notable
women.
Yeah, compared to, like, just like a mermaid and a girl from Dinosaur Island.
Those are fun, but you look like a when we did the Spider-Man one, there was a lot of...
I was thinking about that too, because a lot of the DC heroes have... They matched him with a girlfriend from the start. So right. Superman had Lois Lane, like, in the first story. You know, Hal Jordan's always had Carol Dan. It's always, you know, their Iris West or whatever. Yeah. And
they stick.
Forever. While, like, a Marvel-ized hero like Spider-Man, who's supposed to be the hard luck hero, luck heroes go through women because they get dumped.
Right.
So you can't have that with an idealized hero like a Superman. So really, the next one we should do, the next Many Loves of episode we should do would be like, Batman would be cool because Batman doesn't have a lady love in his life, really. He's got a bunch of villains.
Vengeance.
And, you know, some Vicky Vales and all that. So I think that one would be an interesting one. Maybe at home, if you're listening to this, and I'm presuming you're at home, but you're probably in a car or walking.
You can listen to it anywhere you want.
That's the magic of the podcastering.
It's like radio, but not.
Yeah, if you have any ideas, if you want us to talk about how Matt Murdock lays pipe,
probably poorly because you can't see what he's doing.
He's had a lot of romances.
He's got super senses. He feels that.
Yes, it's very sensual.
He can hear, like, irises opening up and pulsing.
He can hear your heartbeat, so he knows.
Yeah, he just walks into a room.
You're ovulating.
And walks out. Because I can hear the eggs.
How do you know? I sniffed it out.
No.
Smell or something.
He can hear the egg just drop.
Well, see, I think there's an episode in that, not a particularly clean one. But if there's a character out there that you'd like us to do a Many Loves of episode on, let us know. Also, what's your top 5 Lois-less Superman list? Without Lois, who would you pair him up with? So let us know in the comments at fireandwaterpodcast.com, possibly on Facebook. There's a Facebook page for both the Fire and Water Network and Lonely Hearts. And you can also leave us little tweets.
We like that.
And make sure to put the hashtag FWPodcasts so we can find it easily.
And that's podcast plural.
That one. And everywhere else, it's podcast singular. I'm going to have words with Shag.
Shots fired! Beer, 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 beer.
Smoke
weed every day.
That is Shag's function in the network.
Getting shot.
He's a punching bag.
So, I thought that was Diablo Frank.
No.
He'll punch his back.
You don't want to get in his way. So we'll take a small break. Mm-hmm. And when we come back, we'll talk about, we'll read your letters from the mailbag.
Woo! My name is Michael Bailey. And I am still kind of a bad geek. Not a fan of anime, never seen any of the Harry Potter films, much less read the books. I ventured a little further into the worlds of Star Wars and Star Trek, and I've even managed to watch a little Doctor Who. I've also managed to not watch a single episode of The Walking Dead. So what do I like?
Comic books.
I have been reading and collecting comic books since 1987, and I've been a fan of superheroes for as long as I can remember. Some would consider this a hobby, but I prefer to look at it as what it truly is, a crippling addiction that I may never recover from. Back in 2007, I started a podcast called Views from the Long Box to deal with this borderline personality disorder. Every week or so, I pick a particular comic or issue or character or whatever to talk about them, and then... Well, I talk about them. It's kind of what a podcast is. Sometimes I'm alone. Sometimes I'm joined by my semi-regular co-host, the irredeemable Shag, or Thomas DJ, and the permanent semi-regular co-host, Andrew Leyland, and sometimes another friend from the podcasting and comic book world stops by to chat. The show is located at www.viewsfromthelongbox.com, where you can find old episodes and show notes and links to my other internet endeavors. You can also find the show on Facebook, and I'm on Twitter under the handle @BaileysPodcasts. Views from the Long Box, a podcast about comic books or a desperate cry for help. You decide. Every Tuesday, or so, at www.viewsfromthelongbox.com.
And we're back. We're talking about the mail, the volume of mail that we received since the last
tons
time.
Tons and tons.
You guys weren't here. Fern and I just opened up that Patsy Walker book that we bought at the comic book store.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And looked through it, read through it.
It was like the Ark of the Covenant.
With a lot of fashions.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of reader... Readers send in fashions.
Yeah.
So here are a few of the comments. We got some feedback on that in the mailbag. You can react even if you were here. I mean, we're not going to stop you.
I will gasp.
But we did get two iTunes reviews, which really covers everyone, the whole show.
Yay.
Michael Dobbs titles his review, Yas, and says, it's the best Transformers Beast Wars podcast disguised as a romance comics podcast.
Yes! Give me five, Marty.
Beast Wars.
Beasties.
Michael Sano, a friend of yours,
yeah,
says calls it a hidden gem in a very cluttered comic podcast landscape. Yep. He says, this might be the answer to your question of all of these comics podcasts are sounding the same. I need something new. The show deals with a subgenre of comics that doesn't get enough love. See what I did there? The romance comic in all of its forms. They look at different subgenres of romance comics every episode and treat the material with reverence and humor. If that wasn't enough to pique your interest, each episode contains a dramatic radio play based on one of the comics from the host's large collection of material. This is totally worth checking out. Take a risk on love.
Oh.
Ooh.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. Mike's great.
And then some thoughts left on the Fire and Water Network site. Chris Franklin from Supermates says, nowadays it's so easy to forget that comics were all-inclusive at one time. Patsy's history as Hellcat is symptomatic of the fate of the mainstream comic industry to become largely capes and tights by the late 70s. This sounds like a fun comic. I know Cindy, the other Supermate, has some Katie Keene comics from Archie in the 80s that had features similar to this, including fashion submissions. So at least they tried to revive this type of book. I asked Danny, that's their daughter, about rewriting the romance theater story, but she was too busy being obsessed with Legos.
You know what? That's a valid point. Yeah. You know what? That's fine. You don't want to read comics because you've got Legos. Play Legos with
Find
you.
Your joy.
Yeah. Chase your bliss.
Find
your
joy. Legos is everybody's joy.
Lego Batman's coming out soon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Damn it. 3D. We're going to have to go in an afternoon.
Yeah.
Fuckers.
I'm going with you.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
Now, is there going to be a Lego Martha?
Lego Martha.
Well, Lego Martha. The trailer does take pot shots.
Which Martha? Is she going to be like dead?
Oh.
Just a skeleton.
Just a skeleton.
Lego Martha skeleton.
Well, they do take pot shots at BVS.
Yeah.
In the trailer.
Good.
Yeah. Brandoon from New Zealand says, dang, none of these gals were around when I was a courtin'. Perhaps they were a 60s phenomenon? You know, Hedy and Patsy.
Yeah.
Dr. Ange says, in the early 70s when Supergirl was in Adventure and later her short-lived solo comic, DC would have people send in variant costumes for her to wear. Peruse the covers and you'll see a few. In fact, the hot shorts, halter top with puffy sleeve costume, which eventually became her regular costume, was a reader design.
No, that's cool.
And Ange is also the forefront of the Do an Episode on Red Tornado campaign.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, we're still out on that one. It's 3 votes against 1.
I've actually been reading the new Red Tornado series where you just hang out. He has his own... No, that's the Vision, never mind.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe I missed the Red Tornado Vision.
I was going to say,
my God.
They put out a new Vision...
Yeah.
And then they have what? A Red Tornado? Thank God they don't.
No. Either way, the Vision comic right now where he has a family is pretty great.
It looks kind of
good.
Yeah, but it doesn't start a Red Tornado.
No, I don't know why I mixed them up. I guess two red robots.
Yeah, no, yeah. They're very similar. Yeah.
Over-emotional robots, yeah.
Yeah. Over-emotional robots that always die if they need, like... fake dramatic tension. Like, oh no, they killed Tornado. Yeah, it's a robot.
That's the
build them,
one like. Thing I love about the Justice League Unlimited cartoon show. Red Tornado is never, like, featured as the A plot of the story. Sometimes B plot. But every huge fight, he just fucking eats it within 5 seconds. There's parademons flying in. The Question is mowing them down in his Mustang. The Question, a man with
no
superpowers except
insane conspiracy theory deductions. He's the best. And then Red Tornado, a fucking robot that can create tornadoes and fly, has super strength, just fucking eats it within five seconds. Like, shoo.
It's not. I don't think writers like him. They keep killing him. Even in Young Justice, in Young Justice, he's just a glorified babysitter for the Young Justice League.
It's not Red Tornado. It's like, Red Torn Apart.
And I think it's in one of the Brave and the Bold episodes, they go, hey, how can we make Red Tornado even shittier? Let's make four more exactly like him, but one of them has water powers.
Let's make the other one's powers, cool, actually.
And they all beat him down to shreds. He comes back, and it's just like, oh, we suck. And then they die. It's just a non-episode. It's just...
Even Batman sighs in that one. It's like, yeah, I'm teaming up with Red Tornado.
He knows. So I hope that tides you over, Dr. Ange.
Yeah.
Imagine this would be the episode, except we're talking about his one girlfriend.
Did he have a girlfriend?
Well, he had a kid.
Yes, don't encourage so. Ange.
I mean, he had a kid. How else is he going to have a girlfriend?
Red Tornado had a kid?
Yeah, and one of the Brave and the Bold, he teaches his robot Tornado's son.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
It's about the Miracle Christmas, too.
Yeah, it's a Christmas episode.
The Christmas episode. They were like, okay.
Like, Batman's barely in it, too.
It's, yeah. It's like Batman, Brave and the Bold. Eh, fuck Batman. I wonder. He doesn't like Christmas. It's probably like the one holiday where he's like in a corner in his mansion just drinking his sorrow.
Well, he's probably contemplating suicide, which is now a plot point.
Yeah. All right. So let's do an episode with Red Tornado. It's like, all right, fine. All right.
Maybe we'll do a Red Tornado / Vision. Since Vision and Scarlet
Robots in Love.
Robots in Love. Okay, we're thinking about it. Let's see. Michael Sano on the actual site says, even with the smaller crew, this was hella entertaining, guys. I'm so happy that this continues to be a thing in the universe. Regarding the paper dress doll designs and cutouts, was this ever a feature in any of the mainstream superhero books?
Yes, I've seen a lot of paper dolls. There's Deadpool paper dolls. There's Super Friends paper dolls.
Yeah. Like, was there ever a paper Namor doll in his weird green gitch that you could put actual clothes on? I don't know, but...
Nah, Namor likes to be naked.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He's also got that blue one, the dark blue...
Oh, yeah. With the wings. Like the open shirt there.
Yeah, the disco...
Yeah. Yeah, disco Namor is kind of cool.
70s were just so fucking weird.
I think that the first time anyone said Namor was kind of cool.
Kind of. It was kind of cool in his triangle head kind of way.
Yeah.
It's like Water Spock.
He's Water Spock.
Vera Wild says, oh, Patsy, I actually don't have too much to say on this one. It just seems highly emblematic of the era in which it was written. I do really love the fashion parade idea, though, with fans getting to submit outfit designs.
Yeah.
I'd be fascinated to find out how many ideas were submitted any given month and whose job it was to select winners. I'm not sure there'd be any way of finding that out, but it'd be interesting to know all the same. Hope you guys see fit to let Marty and Bass out of the basement for the next episode.
You know what?
I found the keys.
Thank God.
A couple of years ago, I found this website, and it was Project Rooftop. It was,
that's a great website.
Used to have like these alternate, they'd ask like people to submit alternate costumes for superheroes.
Oh. Right?
And so it's kind of like that. It's still up.
Yeah, but, it's got a lot of neat stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff on there. It's really cool.
And then Martin Gray, our friend from Scotland, says, and of course, several Legion costumes were reader designs as well.
Oh.
And he says, I've worked in comics. They probably made a fair few of the reader designs up.
Oh,
so that's something they would do. It's like, but wait, remember, there was like one of the story ideas was obviously from Stan Lee's wife.
Right.
So
they'd make a costume up and say a fan wrote it.
Yeah, they'd invent fans, or it'd be like, let's just like name drop your cousins. And
there's a lot of stuff like that in radio.
Just to get it.
Where certain people just win stuff and, you know, they just happen to
there's
know
a lot of stuff like that because, you know,
sandwiches.
It's open lines. And,
you have people call in if you don't have
The 12th caller gets whatever, and then it's like a fake person?
Well, maybe. Or sometimes it's stuff like that. You know, you have winners that don't really exist, and then give it out again until somebody calls like that.
I think I've done that.
Yeah, I remember at one point, I think Napoleon won something on the radio. They were grasping for names.
It wasn't Russia.
No.
Yeah, Napoleon was defeated by snowflakes.
And finally, some Facebook likes and shares. Woo. From Robert Ward, Gene Hendricks, Clinton Robinson of the Coffee and Comics blog, who has his own podcast now. Mike Gillis, Abel Padilla, Silver and Gold Podcast, Martin Gray, Chris Franklin, Ryan Daly, Rob Kelly, who screams, it's back! Joshua Lapin Bertone, Michael Wagner, Thomas Fovey, Aaron Henley, Ruth Sutherland, Shag Matthews, Gautam Sharon, Bertman McBurt.
Bertman McBurt of the New England McBurts?
Must be.
Okay.
Arthur Patsianis, Alan P. Schulman, and then Twitter likes and Ooh. Shares from Coffee and Comics blog, who screams, yay! True True Freaks, The Hammer Strikes, Film and Water Podcast, Ange, Comic Book Insurance, DJ Knight. That was that actually DJ Knight. That's,
yeah, that was during
that during Halloween. Halloween. These are old. Glenn Walker, Comic Reflections, Warlord Worlds, who says it was a suspenseful script by Ange, because we did read that rewritten story. Sin, Roll Spine Podcast, and Pensiero Negativo. And on Google Plus.
What? Whoa, what?
I know.
What?
These people are on Google Plus and plused us. The Hammer Strikes, Glenn Walker, and Dr. G, Man of Nerdology.
That's right.
Without your pluses, shares, and retweets, we would be nowhere. Thank you.
Does he have a doctorate in nerdology
yes.
and nerdonomy?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Double doctorate.
That's like 12 years Double of study. Yeah.
That's like knowing everything from DC and Marvel.
Oh, wow. Shit.
Does he know which one's better?
And that's when he goes, 2080.
That's when he says, Goku.
I think the answer
Shut up, Max.
I think the answer is Astro City, I think is the answer. He's got a podcast just on, about that.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's it for us. Woo. And we'll try to be back sooner than later with another love-filled episode. Say goodbye, guys.
Goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Here's to the losers. Here's to the losers. Bless them all.
Speed it up there.
Wait, thought bubble. I saw how Miss Sally looked at White. She's sweet on him, but he's not kidding me. As much after her dough as I am.
Speed it up there.
He made me look bad before the Selwyn dame. Ooh, I'll get even with that Wescoey Wabbit.
Without the rabbit?
Without the rabbits, George.
What the fuck?
Get on that log. I've never done this before. Don't care. Do it. How's about you and me go step into the barn dance together tonight?
Sorry, Bart. I've already decided to go with Jim. Because, you know, he's not a complete asshole.
God damn it. I'm trying to feed a horse loco weed, okay? You ever smoked loco weed? You know, that shit'll get you high and get you crazy. Give you a fucking mountain madness. You'll be out in the wild drinking moonshine and fucking a pig in an hour. Only half crazy. Not full crazy. That way you don't win an Oscar.
I ought to know.
I ought to know.
Oh, no.
La La Land. La La Land. Where's La La Land on this?
You're the cock.
I know.
Congratulations.
I am. I am actually Zodiac. I am actually Zodiac Rooster.
Oh.
Yeah, and mon élément c'est métal, so I'm a giant metal cat.
Nice. I'm a horse. I only know the zodiac signs because I watched Jackie Chan Adventures as a kid.
Yeah, I remember that.
Coming soon to a Saturday Morning Fever.
Jackie Chan Adventures.
Yeah,
I do that.
Most of the, most of the time, it's just Jackie Chan going, "What? No, wait, stop! What are you doing?"
I don't know. Episode's blooper threatens to be longer than episode. News at 11.
All right, the serious.
All right.
This is
a serious.
This is a serious, guys.